The music pieces, I used it in my audition. Meditation from Thais by Massenet. It certainly allowed me to be here with you today. you. Even with such a huge scholarship, affording room and board, which was not covered by the institution, was going to be a great burden. This is because of the huge difference in currency between Syria and the US. For example, $1 was 200 Syrian pound. Now it's even worse, it's 500. In addition, my family had lost their jobs in the war and they couldn't support me with even $1. I searched for answers online, hoping for a miracle to happen. During my search, I found an organization called Jusur, meaning bridges in English, and they were helping Syrian students and refugees. I went to their website and I started to learn about their donors, searching each name. One of them was a very kind man from Saudi Arabia, Hussam Shobokshi. I emailed him explaining my story and asking for help. He expressed that he only supported Arab students who wanted to study abroad in the field of science. But he was very impressed with the violin videos I shared with him from my previous recitals. I don't know, something in that music must have touched him. I'm Christian, he's Muslim, and he only sponsors students pursuing science. In a departure from his original plan, he decided to support me for the first year in Monmouth. Thank you. He touched me so much with his kindness, and he made me believe more in our humanity. As he didn't know me in person, and he wanted to help, I guess music speaks. Talking about religion, I'm blessed to have been born and raised in a Christian family who taught me the meaning of loving my enemy before the neighbor. When our Muslim friends were displaced, we opened our homes to welcome them. When my Syrian Muslim friend and student lost her education, I was so keen to find her an opportunity here in Monmouth. She is now senior. These are the values we believe in. And these what we need to carry for our next generation. To get to my new school in the US, however, I first had to travel to Beirut to catch a flight to Florida. All the roads from and to Aleppo were closed, and the city was besieged. There was only one way, extremely dangerous one. Let's watch it together.
Thank you.
This is only a snippet of the daily suffer in Aleppo. I was watching that short film a day before leaving to the US, and I was incredibly scared. I was begging my mom to wait one more day and see, maybe things may change. I was scared to risk her life because she was going to accompany me from Aleppo to Beirut. The next day, our neighbor advised us to go to an area in Aleppo where private buses gather to pick up passengers, but it would be at our own risk as these buses are not affiliated with any company. I had to say yes because my flight ticket had already been booked and I did not know if I would ever get a second chance. The trip took us 17 hours. Normal days, it's not more than 5 or 6. Over than 50 checkpoints of soldiers along the way. At many of them, they thought the violin case was a gun. I had to prove it was not. They would make me to open the violin case, pick up the violin, and inspect it. The bus driver got lost in an area where I could not see anything apart from destroyed building. Couple of days after I arrived to the US, I found out that 3 buses had been completely bombed. And people I know, including my doctor from Aleppo, were killed. It turned out that the road had become target for snipers. My violin and I made it safely to the US. My time at Monmouth College was one of the best experiences of my life. The small liberal arts school and the entire community opened their arms and hearts to welcome 19 Syrian students. It was life-changing for each one of us. We are immensely grateful. My professors there, the Soudas family, helped me so much to overcome the language difficulties and the hardship of being separated from my family. It's now 4 years later. Although I feel safe here, I live in a constant fear about my family and friends who are still struggling and surviving without the basic necessities of life. Last November, our neighbor, a girl of 17 years old, was killed by rockets falling. An hour before that, she had phoned my mom to invite her for coffee and visit. Fortunately, my mom had been asleep and she couldn't pick up. She was saved by a miracle, God's will. For 3 years, my father had to go to the adjacent neighborhoods in search of wells to get water. Every day, I wonder if they will be alive tomorrow, and I wonder if I will be reunited with them one day. Being a refugee in the US taught me a lot. To be strong, independent, and among all, to never give up. I thought that coming to the US was my dream. When I arrived, I realized that the dream was just beginning. I feel I have an obligation to always do my best to give something back to all the people who supported me. In 4 years in the US, I was able to finish my bachelor in Monmouth and master in DePaul University with only $600 in my pocket coming from Syria. I was hoping for my mom to come to attend my graduation as we didn't have any ceremony when I graduated in Syria. But sadly, she couldn't get even visa to visit, not to stay. I wasn't able to go back to Syria because of the war, so I was granted asylum here in the US and I recently received my green card. Meanwhile, I'm grateful to have received the opportunities to speak and perform on behalf of Syrians at so many places, such as United Nations, Aspen Ideas Festival, Harvard, MIT, among many others. I was humbled to be honored at the White House as champion of change. And I feel this is a huge responsibility. I would like to be an ambassador for my country, Syria, in the US, and conversely represent all the great values I learned here worldwide. Today, I consider myself as not just a Syrian citizen, but also a new loyal and devoted young American woman. Thank you. As we all know, the United States has always been the haven for millions of refugees from all over the world. And we need to remember that refugees are not a burden, but displaced people who are eager to find a second chance, an opportunity. We need to exclude, to include, not to exclude. I would like to show a video about a refugee family who has been displaced now in Zaatari camp in Jordan, trying to create pieces of art to manage their new life. Let's watch it together.
ليش هي ما جبت معي غير عبايه وقلابيه السوق بس ما جبت معي غير هذول غرضين بالطريق بردت قلت لها لمرأة قلت لكم شان الله والله العظيم ميته من البرد اعطيني كنزه اعطتني كنزه ولبستها.
Thank you for inviting us to your home and could actually we haven't even seen many of these types of food. Could they explain to us what they are?
ايوه وهذه ذوقك زيت الزعتر. بسم الله.
And this is olive oil and thyme. ايوه.
حبيبتي 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 حبيبتي. يلا.
So where did you learn to do all of these handicrafts?
وين تعلمتي تعملي كل هاي الأشياء اللي أنت عم تعمليها الحرفية؟
أنا بسوريا كنت أشتغل هيك. كمان بيتي بسوريا كمان فيه هيك شغلات كتيرة إلي.
أكيد.
كمان إيه والله.
Does it cost a lot to make these?
ولا شيء. ضلني هيك أمشي بالزعتري تلم أكياس النايلة اللي بملمون ساونا إياها بالمفوضية لما من الطريق. يضحكوا علي الناس بس ما يعني ما عادي اي قصان واشتغل فيهم ضليتني هيك رايحة وجاي شي 3 أشهر قامت صار معرض بنفس المؤسسة اشتغلت مزهرية عجبتها لوحدة أجنبية عطتني عليها 50 دينار هلأ بيهمني اشتغل حتى يعني أبدع يعني الحمد لله ساعدتنا على العيشة هون الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله
Syria, we have many talented people, but life now is truly impossible for us as we experience death and horror every day. Syria needs help more than any time ago. We need to hear the sound of music again over guns. Before the war, the population of Syria was 23 million. In 2016, the United Nations identified 13.5 million Syrians requiring humanitarian assistance, of which over than 6 million are internally displaced within Syria, and about 5 million are refugees outside of Syria. Often people ask, how can they help? It's definitely be possible through simple but meaningful engagements, such as there are lots of organizations who are working on the ground to help refugees, such as UNHCR. It will be great if you could help as well to support refugees and people in need. I'm working with some of these organizations on a project called A Song from My Wounded Home to the World. The idea is to work with other musicians and form various musical workshops and go visit refugees and children in their camps. These children have been exposed to extremely harsh and inhumane scenes. And we are in need. We need to give them the chance to forget the war for a while and touch the beauty of music. I feel powerless to change the current tragedy ongoing in my country. However, I believe so much in the power of music to remove barriers between people and nations. Music is a bridge that has saved my life and helped opening fascinating doors for the flourish of my career. Through music, for example, we communicate, advocate, inspire, and express the things which are hard to be expressed by any word or language. I hope music will one day help healing the pain our world has felt and create peace platform for everyone. To conclude, I would like to perform a theme from Schindler's List by John Williams. This expressive piece commemorates the tragedy of the Holocaust. It reminds us of our humanity and moves us to take actions. I will follow that with a Middle Eastern folk dance, Longa Shahinaz. This music will be my prayer for a world that prevails peace, love, and unity. Thank you. Thank you.
Did we learn something? And more importantly, did we feel something? Someone's story, any person's story, is so important. And in this day and age, so often we're busy doing life or drawing conclusions or just doing our thing. And we need to just stop and let someone tell us their story. And Mariella, thank you for coming and sharing your story that is still unfolding. Thank you. We're going to do a couple things here. First, we want to give you a chance to respond with gift. Mariella is whatever comes today is helping people back in Syria, helping refugees. And so today, as we take our offering, you can give your tithe and other gifts. But we would love to give a very generous expression from this church to Mariella and who and what she represents. And so if you make out a check, make it out to Oak Brook Community Church, and we will make sure all of that goes to her. But mark the line, Syria or Mariella or whatever you put to say special mission offering, and all of that will go for that. So we'll give you just a moment to respond. As we do on these special mission weeks, we did this last week. Some of you may have a gift that you brought because you weren't ready last week. And I said you can write on an envelope IOU, and we don't come after you. But if you give it this week, we make sure that goes to the specified ministry. And so those that were giving to Jay can do that. If you're not ready to give for Mariella today, you can come next week and just drop that in the offering with the marking, and we'll make sure all of that goes. But let's respond. You can also mark that faith promise card for those that are from here. We want to consider and prayerfully consider what God would have us do in a broad sense in missions in 2018. So that's part of these weeks together. Ushers, if you'll come as we pray and participate. Lord, we thank you today for life. We thank you, Lord, that you are the giver of life and that you gave your life so that we might truly have life, eternal life. We ask that the stories of others, their journey, would touch our lives, and we would share that with others. And we would share the love of Jesus Christ, the hope that he brings, the peace that he brings, the answers that come through Jesus. So today we bless Mariella and pray for the work that she is doing through her music, through her story, that it would go far and wide, and that you would use her as an instrument of peace and bless the work of her hands. We pray for Syria today. We ask for peace in that land. We ask for you to do a work that no man can do. And we pray for Syria today. And Lord, as we respond with these gifts, as we respond with faith promise, I ask that you would stir our hearts, help us to take steps of faith and say, we're going to participate beyond walls, without borders, beyond borders. We want to give and touch near and far, here in Chicago, all the way around the world, in so many ways, to be part of what you're doing, to touch lives, to save the lost, to make a difference for all of eternity. So Lord, make us a people that have a generosity that expresses your love to the world. And may we prayerfully consider what you'll have us do now with this gift and in 2018 as we plan our mission giving, our mission budget. We give these things to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you as you give this morning. And I'm going to share just a story, another story from Scripture that will bring us to the communion table today. And my heart and mind went here in preparation for today. It's a unique text for the communion setting. But I want to bring you into the story. It's the story of Ruth, a book found in the Old Testament. Ruth was the daughter-in-law to Naomi. Naomi had to leave her country to find a place to live, and she had traveled with her husband and ultimately had sons that married Naomi, had Ruth as a daughter-in-law. Both of their husbands died. They were found in a difficult place. And Naomi said, I guess I just need to go home. And she brought with her Ruth, who was a refugee in the land of Israel. And we see a beautiful story unfold, and I'm going to just read from Ruth chapter 2, verse 5, as Ruth and Naomi came back to Naomi's homeland, she went out to the field to just glean what she could, to just pick up the spare stalks of wheat and just grab what she could to hope they would have food. And yet here's what happens. As the owner of that field noticed a refugee. I want you to hear this. The owner of the field noticed a refugee. Verse 5, Boaz asked the overseer of his harvesters, who does that woman, that young woman, belong to? The overseer replied, she is the Moabite who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters. She came into the field and has remained here from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter. Can I just mention here that 99% of our refugees will do whatever they can to find work, to make it. Here is what happens with Ruth, as she just said, let me just be in the field. I'll do whatever I have to do. So Boaz said to Ruth, my daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field and don't go away from here. Stay here with the women who work for me. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along after the women. I have told the men not to lay a hand on you. And whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jar the men have filled. At this, Ruth bowed down with her face to the ground. She asked him, why have I found such favor in your eyes that you noticed me? Wow. Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you noticed me, a foreigner? That's what the word says. Boaz replied, I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. And Mariella, we pray that for you today and for your family back home in Syria. Then it says in verse 13, may I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord. You have put me at ease by speaking kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servants. And we'll just end here, but I bring us to the table, the communion table. It says in verse 14, at mealtime, Boaz said to her, come over here, have some bread, and dip it in the wine vinegar. What a picture. And need I remind you that as we look to the lineage of Jesus, Ruth was there. She came to the table. She found a place at the table. And if I could have a heart of a refugee today and ask us who are at the table, who know the Lord Jesus or who have received of his goodness and we live in a sense of comfort and ease, we're at the table. But would our heart go out to those who are not at the table today? Could we prayerfully consider who's not at the table? And as Boaz did with Ruth, in a symbolic way, I share this as we prepare for communion today. Could we invite somebody to the table and share with them and let them share their story? That's what Jesus did with us. We're all foreigners. We're all aliens. We're all outside of relationship with God. But Jesus said, come to the table. Come to the table. Dine with me. Partake of what I've provided for you. And we can, with a heart open today, say, God, help us to consider and to care, to love, to reach out, invite those that are not here. I'm going to invite the ushers to come and to pass the plates down the aisle. We believe here at OBCC in an open communion. If you know Jesus Christ, if he is your Savior, you don't have to be a member of our church. We invite you to take the bread and the cup and just hold it until we take it together in a moment. But I would ask that just in some quietness as the team plays, if we would just prepare our hearts and say, God, help me to care. Thank you that I'm at the table. Thank you that I have been able to receive of you. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, it's an invitation. He invites you, and you can respond to him today, even as we just in this moment prepare our hearts, thanking him for what he's provided for us and allowing him to give us his heart for the broken, the hurting, the persecuted, the refugee. So take a moment as they play. Let's talk to Jesus about it. Hold your cup and your bread until we take together in just a moment.